Political observers have taken away a few key messages from the Republican National Convention this week. Republicans want to appeal to their base while showing enthusiasm for their candidate, President Trump. Republicans tried to sell Mr. Trump as a life savior amid the COVID-19 pandemic, and Republicans say a vote for Joe Biden is a vote for socialism, or have at least painted Biden as a puppet for progressives. Here's how Long Island native Andrew Pollack, whose daughter died in the 2018 Parkland school shooting, presented the vote for Trump at the RNC.
At the White House, my family and I sat with the president in the Oval Office and told him about Meadow. I told him what we knew. I told him that his administration needed to take a closer look at what went wrong and why. And I got to see who President Trump really is. He's a good man and a great listener, and he cuts through the BS. Then the president did what he said he would do. He took action.
Joining us now is New York State Republican Party Chairman Nick Langworthy. Nick, thank you for joining us on All Things Considered.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Andrew Pollack credits President Trump on his approach to taking action on school security and emergency response. How do you think this reflects on Trump's overall decision-making?
You can't take away the fact that Donald Trump is a man of action. And I don't believe that anyone at that Democrat convention or on that ticket thought that there would be a school shooting survivor that would, you know, come forward and talk about how Donald Trump was a good listener, someone that emphasized with their family and actually went to work to get things done to hopefully prevent any of those future tragedies. And, you know, I believe that the president's tenure has shown he's a man of action. He's someone that doesn't want to talk. He wants to actually get things accomplished.
In the last 4 years, we've seen a high turnover in the Trump administration and within his personal inner circle. Do you think voters are concerned with all of the changes?
I really don't think that the voters focus on people coming and going out of the administration. It's a pretty common effect. There's a bit of a revolving door process. I mean, to work in a presidential administration requires a tremendous amount of stress, sacrifice from your family, your personal life, and you know, most people cannot do that for the long haul. And I think some of the turnover is natural, and you know, there are people that just don't work out, and the president makes changes. So as someone that's a hard-nosed CEO like our president is, he's going to have people come and go from his orbit.
Congressional Democrats have criticized Mr. Trump for his use of executive order, kind of like New York Governor Andrew Cuomo during the pandemic. How do you respond to that?
Well, you have to function, with a legislature that's willing to work. I mean, we've seen our governor who's taken executive orders and executive privilege to the extreme. I mean, we're begging the state legislature to take some of their power back. Meanwhile, in Washington, there are no great emergency powers granted the president. He has to work with Congress, and you have a Congress that won't act. And the president went to find avenues to get relief to people that needed it. And he used his privilege through executive orders to do that. I think it's, when the legislature won't act, using the executive orders it sometimes becomes necessary. The gridlock in Washington has got to stop. And there's the problem, I believe, that, you know, the American people are coming to the conclusion of is there's too much brinksmanship on every single issue, even when it comes time to get relief for the American people during a pandemic where we have extraordinary economic stress and people have job uncertainty. You have people not willing to work across the aisle because they don't want to give a political victory to the man in the White House.
On Monday, New York's 94 GOP delegates were pledged to Trump. Yet Governor Cuomo criticized the president at last week's Democratic National Convention for the president's pandemic response. The question is, how can there be such a differing view of COVID-19 in New York, a state with 430,000 positive cases and 25,000 deaths since March?
Well, frankly, I cast those votes on Monday, and in my speech, I didn't talk about you know, the Great Lakes or the beaches of Long Island, I talked about COVID-19 and the response that the president gave, you know, the people of the state of New York. I cited in my speech the sight of the USS Comfort, you know, sailing into our harbor, you know, gave hope and a bright beacon of light to New Yorkers in one of our darkest hours. Even Governor Cuomo and you could go back and watch the video, thank profusely President Trump for his COVID response and what the federal government did for New York during that time, whether it was increased testing capacity, tons of PPP brought to our state, ventilators, and of course, hospital beds, and the Army Corps of Engineers building hospitals to the tune of millions and millions of dollars and man hours spent in our state to try to help the people of the state of New York in our crisis. Then the governor had the audacity to go to his party's convention and criticize the governor, the president's leadership. I thought that was despicable, and I took my 2 minutes at the microphone to call that out.
U.S. Representatives Elise Stefanik and Lee Zeldin of New York are scheduled to speak tonight at the RNC. What do you expect they'll say?
Well, I think that you're going to one, I'm very excited as party chairman for the Republican Party in the state of New York to have two of our bright, young, shining stars in the party, Elise Stefanik and Lee Zeldin, on a national stage. You know, my understanding is Lee is going to give his speech from Long Island, which is a great way for our state to be highlighted. You know, his background as a veteran, is a true leader on international issues in the Congress. You know, Lee Zeldin is someone that I think the sky is the limit, and his potential is very great. So to have people all over the country and the world getting to see Lee Zeldin, you know, speaking on behalf of President Trump, I think is outstanding. And as Elise Stefanik goes, she's been on an upward trajectory from the moment she became the youngest woman ever elected to Congress. You know, back when she first went and, you know, she became a national figure during the impeachment debacle, where she called Adam Schiff to the carpet on really, you know, the theatrics that were going on in Washington at that time. So she is a very sought after commodity. I know as state chairman, I interact with my colleagues around the country, and many of them ask me if I could get her to speak to their groups. Truly, these two, you know, young members of Congress, the sky is the limit for their potential.
Now, I understand you're heading down to the White House to witness Mr. Trump formally accept the GOP nomination. What would you like to hear in his speech?
Well, I think that the best way for him to address the American people and accept this nomination is to talk about this great American comeback that he's leading, and to talk about where we're going to go in the next 4 years, first defeating COVID, but then, you know, once again, creating the strongest economy that our country's ever seen. I know the president's done it once. I know he can do it again. But that inspiration and that hope and optimism is, I believe, what Americans need. And I think that's what he will deliver.
Nick Langworthy chairs the Republican Party in New York. Nick, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.